Brethren, I want to speak today about a topic that in the pastor's manual we're encouraged to speak about from time to time, and that's basically that we need to attend Sabbath services as often as we can. And we all know that. And those of us who are at home online as well are participating. And so it's one of these things that we see in Scripture, and it's something that Mr. Rick Shaby talks about from time to time. And because we're coming to a time period when we're starting to track how many we're serving online, I thought this was a good time to also mention some of the other things about Sabbath observance. It's something that really sets us apart as a body of believers from much of the Christian world. And so I wanted to do that today for you. When we read in the ministry of Jesus Christ, there are many references to the Sabbath, and so much of what he taught was on the Sabbath days. You can understand as you read some of the examples today in the message, which I hope is encouraging, enlightening, and not in a corrective mode at all, but something we see in the Scripture. I want to show us that Christ often used the Sabbath day and the gatherings of people to really expand and teach the things that he had brought to them. In Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, we see one example of Christ's own ministry. It says, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written." And he quotes then from the book of Isaiah. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be in that gathering on that Sabbath day? Wouldn't it be great when we all have that opportunity in the future, together on a Sabbath day, and Jesus Christ will open the book of Isaiah and read from it again? I look forward to those things, and so we see his pattern, his example, and his heart there to teach his people. Verse 18, it says, as he's reading, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted," and all these wonderful things that Jesus Christ was sent to give to us and do for us, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. There's a lot that Isaiah was writing about that the Messiah would do and bring and give to us. And throughout the course of his ministry, he fulfilled these things, and we can see them in the rest of his Sabbath preachings as well. In verse 20, "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him." And so you see this gathering of people there listening and wondering and wanting then to ask questions and learn more. And he began to say to them, today, on that Sabbath day, as they sat there together in that synagogue, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And so many times in the scriptures, in Christ's ministry, we see his preaching, his teaching on the Sabbath day. And it's one of the reasons that we follow his example. We come to learn and to grow and to understand the things that the prophets and Christ and the apostles have all been inspired to give to us. The apostles, they followed his example as well, followed in his footsteps. We can see an example of this in Acts chapter 13. There are many others, but I chose this because it shows the gathering of people on the Sabbath day, how important that was, how important it still is. In Acts 13, verse 42, it says, "And when the Jews went out of the synagogue," this was a time when Paul was preaching, speaking of the things. You can see some of the things that he spoke of in the earlier part of this chapter. And when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They already were anticipating coming back, gathering on that next Sabbath day to hear this great message of hope. Now, when the congregation had broken up, the services having ended, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And we see this example here of Sabbath fellowship after that service. And now they're following, they're asking. And Paul and Barnabas continued teaching and speaking to them. And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Wouldn't that be great to anticipate that when today might be a small group and then word spread of the hope that God gives to us, and new people begin to come into Sabbath services, and we have some here, guests today, who are at least here for this day. I don't know your background yet because I haven't even met you, but it's one of those things where we see that people want to come and hear and learn because it makes a difference in their lives as well. Do you remember those of you who are called later in life? Maybe you were observing your faith in a different way. You didn't know yet about the Sabbath, and then God began to reveal it to you. And how important it was for you that the first time or two, or first few years even, of coming to worship God on the Sabbath day, to realizing how important this is. You know, I and many of you were children when our parents began to attend, and we went through it from a different point of view. For us, it was get ready and go to church because it starts in a couple hours and we've got to get ready and go. For others, for our parents, it was, this is a Sabbath day. I have to get my family ready to go. It's important for my children to hear this too. And so there's all these different experiences to learn to come to worship God on the Sabbath day. And so here we are. There's a passage in Hebrews 10 that we often read about this. And when I've been listening to sermons by Mr. Shabies, the recently appointed president of United Church of God, and others too, there's quite a few times that we'll hear this particular passage in relationship to our Sabbath observance. I want to read that for us. And then I want to back up a little bit and show you something about it. In Hebrews 10, in verse 25, it says this, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." This is often applied to Sabbath attendance, and rightly so. We are commanded by God to assemble. On these days that God has made holy, commanded his people to assemble together to worship, we see this. I want to just read what Mr. Shavey wrote in the recent e-news on November 17th, so just a few weeks ago. And I love the positive way he presents this. He says, "Being with the brethren and having the opportunity to meet and talk with so many of you was rewarding." He had just recently been on a Sabbath day to visit another congregation. He says, "God's people are special." And so this is something that we look at when we have a men's Bible study, for instance. I encourage the men, open your directory and look at every person's picture and every person's name and think about them and what their life is like and what they need. They're very, very, very special people. He calls us his own special people in 1 Peter 2. And indeed, all who live God's way are a joy and inspiration to be around. When I anticipate coming to church, Nancy and I will talk, sometimes even midweek, and we'll say, you know, in a day or two, three more days, we'll be able to be back together with our friends, with our family. The Bible verses, Mr. Shaby writes, that come to mind is Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity, of course, means that we are bound together by God's Holy Spirit. You say, what binds us together here? What draws us here? What was it that made the whole city come together to hear Paul on that Sabbath day that followed that one that we read of? It binds us in fellowship and brotherhood with him and with each other. And it quotes or refers to 1 John 1. If you turn there and read with me in 1 John 1, verse 1 through 3, we see some of the connection here, that loving bond between God and his people. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. And John is writing here of his own personal eyewitness account of having been in the presence of Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry and during the time afterwards when he was resurrected and was still with his people for that next 40 days. He says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that we which have seen and heard, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And there's that connection, that fellowship among the people of God, that close bond of love and spiritual understanding that's called fellowship. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These are speaking of reasons we come together to worship on the Sabbath day. I was glad that Mr. Shaby approached it from that direction. And he wrote this one last paragraph I'll read from him. It's no wonder why God established holy convocations and commands us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I want to just thank so many of you who are so consistent in your observance of God's commandment to us all this way. And I'm including those of you online at home, because I see from week to week the number of connections stays very, very close to the average that's been established now these last 2 years, 22 to 28 in that range, individual connections to our webcast service every single Sabbath. You know what it tells me? It tells me that you are faithful. It tells me that God is there and you're growing and understanding. It tells me that you're okay in spiritual ways. Mr. Shaby says, brethren, take the opportunities God gives us to be with each other at Sabbath services, Bible studies, and other occasions. Get to know your brethren. And I suppose this is one of the things I'm focusing here today on. Get to know each other. Get to know so we can help each other. What are the needs among us? What are the strengths among God's people that we can draw on so that we can be stronger? And what are the things that everyone has that everyone else needs? He says, develop that agape love that leads to brotherly love for each other. It will bring joy and energy to your life, just as it brings joy to God to see his people gather before him as they speak often with one another, as it says in Malachi chapter 3. So the Sabbath is something to really treasure. The Sabbath observance together, in whatever way we can do that together, as often as we're able to be here in person, but online and at home, if that is the case for many. Last Wednesday evening, something very special happened here in the congregation. We've been having a men's Bible study. Mostly it's the men who are speaking and giving leading songs, but all the men are invited who would like to attend. And this season, we're doing something a little different. We're asking two of the men on each of our visits to bring a short topic from the scripture and teach it in a way that it's not like giving a sermonette, but it's more like a classroom setting, where they can bring something from the scripture and share it with us, and we could have a discussion among the men who are participating, so that we have that iron sharpening iron kind of effect that is so helpful to our growth. Last Wednesday, I think, was one of our better visits like that. And this passage in Hebrews 10 came to our discussion. Gary Johnson was leading a very interesting presentation about the passages in Hebrews where the word consider is in the context. And actually, it's not the main point of our conversation, that verse in Hebrews 10, where it says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That flows from something that speaks of a very powerful spiritual principle that can help change our lives. And that's what Mr. Johnson was talking about, this word, consider. I don't want to preempt what he brought, and I hope that he will expand on it and bring it to you in a good message. Just to let you know, if he starts talking about the word consider, pay good attention, because there's a lot of depth to that. But he brought something up, and in the conversation among men who were wanting to learn and help each other, iron sharpening iron, we had this amazing discussion that helped me, because I was already planning this message, but it helped me to see some different approach as well. Because look back in Hebrews 10, in verse 24. There's actually, this whole context is so beautiful, but I'll just look at this one sentence that begins in verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's the point that's being made. That's the spiritual principle that is being taught. Let us consider one another. Let's think about how precious each one is in God's calling, and how his Spirit is helping each one of us. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, to be able to help each other to progress in our spiritual lives. You can help encourage those who are going through difficult times and trials. We can help the young ones to be strong in their faith and make the right choices. We can stir up love and good works to help each other in all those many different ways that are so necessary in a good and strong congregation. And then it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What a great opportunity we have every Sabbath to come together, to stir up love and good works, to learn of God's word, how to apply it, to find out what kind of struggles our friends are going through, what kind of help they might need, to go to a friend and say, I have been having a difficult time with a problem. Can you help me? I know you've been through it. Can you help me? Can you stir up this love and good works in me? We all have such ability to help each other. So I was preparing this message for a while, but this changed my approach. And I'd listened to various sermons, and then this began to crystallize. Because last Wednesday, when Gary brought the focus to the word consider, rather than not forsaking, then it just lifted it into this positive and teaching and wonderful way of helping each other. And I just really appreciated that conversation. Gary pointed out that early in this letter of Hebrews, we're given another spiritual exhortation, the encouragement, the guidance to consider Jesus Christ. And this is where our conversation began to flow. And it was Tony who brought this into the visit last Wednesday. I really appreciated it. Tony turned to Hebrews 3 and verse 1, which Gary had shown us in his notes, is the same word, consider, the same Greek word used here as well. And it says here, in Hebrews 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. And so here we're shown so early in this book, have that to be our focus, consider him. And in this book of Hebrews, so much attention is given by God who inspired the book to help us consider all the different roles of Jesus Christ, our high priest. Look at some of them here. He's the apostle, the high priest of our confession. Verse 2, who was faithful to him, who appointed him. We can read of all of these things and just really take the time to think about it. Consider these aspects of Jesus Christ and his example and his character. And these are the things that he's teaching us. And it goes through some of these, and we'll skip down to verse 13. And Tony brought this out. And again, it was just like a window open, and you could begin to see something we've known and read for many years, but then when you have a conversation among people learning and growing together, you can begin to put it together in a different way that's actually very helpful. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily. This is more than just on the Sabbath. This is daily. Encourage one another. And so we have this connection among ourselves that God has brought us here as his special people. Exhort one another daily while it's called today. You know, sometimes in the middle of the week, someone will give me a call and they'll begin talking, and soon I'm getting the encouragement from them that they didn't even realize I needed. They just called, they're talking. Della is so good with this. She called me last night and I just really enjoyed visiting with her. But it's these kind of things where we connect with each other during the week, during the times of our work and our service and the things we go through. You know, sometimes it's really good to have a great conversation with someone while you're working in a hay field and putting up hay, or you're working on a project together to help someone clean their roof off or build a deck. And the group gets together and helps God's people. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, lest we sometimes feel left out and lonely, and how can I cope? No one cares. But people do care. And we all care for one another. In verse 14, for if we have become partakers, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. He wants us to remember where we've been, the beginning of our confidence, the time when we first began to keep the Sabbath day, when we first began to live this way of life, and how good it was for us to change so much with God's help. When we consider Jesus Christ, as we see in chapter 3, verse 1, we begin to gain an understanding about him in so many different ways. We begin to see how he considers us, and then we can turn our attention to one another and exhort one another daily and really have that kind of fellowship. This flows to what we see back in chapter 10, and our focus can be drawn to Jesus Christ. Look at this in chapter 10, just pick up some of this. When you see this pattern of teaching in the book of Hebrews, it begins to make it even more powerful. In Hebrews 10 and verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's part of considering him. Consider all these things he's done for us and given to us. The great love he has. Our focus is still being drawn to considering Christ Jesus. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. He's perfecting us. We consider him because he's helping us to become perfected. Those who are being sanctified, set apart. And the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. This is what we have when we consider him. Consider what the Spirit of God is showing us that Christ is doing for us and in us and with us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. See what he's doing for us. He's giving us this kind of help. And in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. When we consider Christ, so much to be thankful for. It moves from there back to us again in verse 19. And I'm leading up, of course, to verse 25. But I want to show you the pattern that is here in his word that guides us to this. Verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, having boldness to pray to him for each other, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Again, all these things, considering him, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. We consider him, but now us too. Let us, as his people, as individuals with the Spirit of God, as a congregation of believers, as the body of Christ, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. These are things we learn of on the Sabbath days when we come together. When we hear the messages about the things that God is doing in us, for us, with us. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Then he says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And that's the title for this message, to stir up love and good works. How does that happen? And where can it best be practiced? On the Sabbath days. Because we learn so much on the Sabbath day about Jesus Christ and about God our Father and about our brothers and sisters, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why do you suppose God inspired the emphasis on the assembling of ourselves together? In the first message, we heard some of the commandments of God that were read from Exodus 20. There's that commandment of God there in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's a sacred assembly that God has called us to. What a blessing it is to know that. What a blessing it is to be able to live this way. In Leviticus 23, where all of the holy days are listed in one chapter, it says in verse 3 about the Sabbath, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation, a time to come together to worship God, a time to come together to encourage one another, to stir up love and good works, and to help each other to stay steadfast in our faith, to learn. Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We come to learn on the Sabbath. We come to fellowship. We read in 1 John chapter 1 already, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us." And that's such an important thing about every Sabbath. We come to help others. And I suppose today my main point would be this. We come to Sabbath services to help others, to stir up love and good works, to be there for each other, to bring the lesson of this passage more into focus, to receive the help we need too. Sometimes, brethren, we can be discouraged. Have you ever felt that way? Some days more so than others. And I've had my share of moments and days and weeks like that. Sometimes it's important to go to church to be able to receive the help we need. We get that from other people who have God's Holy Spirit. Have you ever experienced that when trials were difficult and maybe you didn't feel like going to church, but you went anyway, and someone was able to encourage you? They didn't even know what you needed or what you were going through. That's a really good feeling. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. And it's not specifically talking about the Sabbath day here. But it's talking about our fellowship. It's talking about the very positive things that we need from each other. In Ephesians 4, verse 12, it's speaking of the church and how it's organized. It says, we have teachers, pastors and teachers and others. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So we're to stir up love and good works. And so we need to be equipped for that, for the work of good of the ministry, of service to each other, for the edifying, the building up, the strengthening of the body of Christ, till we all come together, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a time when when we will, at the time of the resurrection or the time of Christ's return, be given eternal life, and that perfection will finally be full and complete in us. Come to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a wonderful goal to have. And we can gain encouragement toward that from each other. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that would apply to those who give the messages on the Sabbath. We come before God and someone stands before the lectern and they're leading the rest of the congregation in prayer and worship and teaching and expounding his word. This is also in our fellowship. This is also in our conversation with one another. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. I read this verse on my first Sabbath here in the area as I was coming to serve you, as Nancy and I were transferred here. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Brethren, these are tremendously positive reasons for us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. These are reasons for us to consider one another and to stir up love and good works, because we all need that from each other. We all need what others have to give, that God has blessed them with in their life. It's when we are together, when we can share these things best, to give and to receive the blessings from God that we have when we're assembled together. We're very thankful to God to be able to provide a live webcast to so many. As I saw the names coming in today, thank you for that. To realize that we serve a lot of God's people who are so very precious and so much a part of this congregation, but they're unable to come to Sabbath services, and we know that and appreciate that, but we know too that just even by this simple thing of you texting, it helps us to think about you. It helps us to remember that you're there to help us. It's a wonderful blessing to know that you at home are being served. I'm so grateful to our team that can, week after week, provide this service, and we have the way to do it. Because otherwise, we would have people at home alone, not able to hear, not able to participate in the songs together and to pray together, to hear the messages given live. So you're very much loved and part of our congregation. And so when I'm reading these verses, I don't want you to feel guilty about not being able to be here in person. But I want all the rest of us to be more active in visiting those who are homebound and be able during the week to encourage each other, to do our share to help everyone else. But for some who are at home, and I don't know who they might be, so this is not directed toward any particular person, but I know we haven't seen some of our people for more than 2 years. And I would suggest and ask and encourage that if you are at home and listening and you can come to services at least once in a while. We need you. We need you here. Christ said to pray for more laborers for the harvest. And when we come together on a Sabbath day, there are things that we need to do together. We have faithful people who diligently serve in so many different ways. We're grateful for them. It'd be good for some of them to have a break once in a while. It'd be good for some of our younger ones to step in, because some have been doing these things for a generation or more. If you're able to come to Sabbath services, then please take this to heart. We need you. And we ask, will you come? For all of us, brethren, there are so many good reasons to assemble together. And one of the very best is what we read in Hebrews 10:24, that we can come to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Happy Sabbath.